Welcome to My Ministry Mission, where faith's transformative power comes to life. Sit back and relax as we dive into God's Word together, finding hope, guidance, and inspiration for our lives. Be sure to check out today's show notes for extra resources, updates, and ways to connect with our growing community. Or head on over to MyMinistryMission.com to get more information, contact me, become a guest, and so much more. God has placed a calling of ministry in my heart, and I'm answering that call, sharing my journey of faith, tackling tough questions, and encouraging you to live boldly for Christ. So I hope you're ready to ignite your spiritual flames. My name is Jason, and this is my mission. Welcome and thank you for listening. My name is Jason and I'm your host. God has a plan for all of us, and sometimes that means we have to step away from long-held traditions. My guest today is Yoel Ben Yisrael. He was once a member of the Watchtower and Bible Tract Society, or commonly known as Jehovah's Witness, but Yahweh presented Yoel with a beautiful testimony guiding him to leave what was familiar and pursue the kingdom of heaven. In this episode, we'll go on a journey with our honored guest, which led him to start Set Apart Kingdom Prep, which houses resources to help us prepare our hearts, minds, and souls for the coming King. You can visit his website at setapartkingdomprep.com. And as usual, you can find the links to his website in the show notes, as well as links to his podcast, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube channel, and all that good stuff. So, are you ready to meet an incredibly joyful and spiritual man? So Yoel, thank you for giving us the gift of your time today.
Oh man, wow. That is a beautiful introduction. Shalom to everybody. Shalom to everybody. Thank you, Jason, for the warm invitation of being on your podcast, the My Ministry Mission podcast. I'm super elated to have a conversation with you today, sir. Thank you so very much.
Of course. I really enjoyed our introduction call. And I meant what I said. You are such a joyful man and so spiritual. It's truly inspiring. So I'm so happy to have you here.
Oh, man. Thanks, man. Right back at you, man. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. So we'll jump right into this. Your favorite Bible verse when you put in the form was Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." How does this verse speak to you?
Oh, my goodness, Jason. So, you know, what's so interesting is that this verse turned from being one of the most confusing verses to me at one point in time when I was a Jehovah's Witness and when I was in my teenage years to now, it's become one of my favorite verses. And the reason why I say that is because when I was a teenager, I really didn't understand what the Messiah was saying on a holistic level in Matthew 4:17. And, you know, so I guess some people can be saying, well, what do you mean by that? When the Messiah preaches that, he preaches repent because the kingdom of heaven has arrived, I thought I understood what it meant to repent. Now, I'm going to let you all know what I thought when I was a teenager. When I was a teenager in the Watchtower Society, I thought it just meant that, you know, we just, whenever we sin and whenever we backslide when it comes to King Yahweh's word, that we have to, you know, get sackcloth and ashes, and we have to rock back and forth, and we have to go into a corner, we have to cry. And there's nothing wrong with that. I believe that shows the contrition of our heart. But what I didn't fully understand is that it also means to change our mind entirely, change the way that we think, to think differently. And so that really struck me as like, whoa, like I need to change my entire thought process because the Messiah, he's really challenging us in this way. But Jason, the second half of this verse is where things got really exciting for me. In the English, I didn't understand what the Messiah was saying. So as a Jehovah's Witness, we would read the New World Translation, and even their translation, it's even more hard to understand what he's saying because they have a different translation. But when I read this verse in the Hebrew text, Jason, it blew me away because I finally understood what the Messiah was saying. And I'll just read the latter half of that verse in Hebrew, and I'll take it to translate for the audience. the Hebrew Messiah, the Christ, was saying, Shubu kihagia makuta shamayim. What he basically says is for us to repent because the kingdom of heaven has arrived. What I realize is that this Hebrew word hagia means has arrived. It's a third person past tense verb within the Hebrew language. And so when I finally understood this, I was like, whoa, all this time, I've been reading this verses like 999 times, but for some reason or another, that 1,000th time, when I read it in the Hebrew, that's when things started to click for me. And so that's when it became my absolute favorite verse, because I finally understand the good news that the Hebrew Messiah came to earth to preach to humankind.
That's amazing. And I couldn't say that. You say that 10 times fast. But that's really great. That's really great and very insightful. And I think that's a good way to look at it. I like to take my listeners on a journey, and I like to have them go on a journey with you, if that's okay. I'd like Absolutely. To kind of ask about your childhood. You were born into the Watchtower Bible Tract Society. What was your life like growing up as a Jehovah's Witness?
Man, yes. Yeah. So go on a journey. We shall go. We shall go.
I'm ready.
Yes. Yeah, so, man. So my childhood as a Jehovah's Witness, you know, I feel like it was an average normal childhood, and probably almost everybody says that. So growing up, my mom and dad, they got divorced when I was relatively young. And so my mom would take my younger brother, Dominique, and I to the Kingdom Hall of Jehovah's Witnesses. And I would be on the edge of my seat, just listening, trying to understand, because the Bible, it really intrigued me. Scripture really intrigued me at a very young age. And so, you know, we sit there in the Kingdom Hall. My brother, he'd be next to me. And my mother would occasionally have to like whisper in my ear and say, hey, like, you know, wake your brother up. And so I'll have to nudge him a little bit and say, hey, you know, we gotta pay attention. And so over time, Jason, I began to become more sincere, I would say, within the faith. And it went from my mother just dragging us to the Kingdom Hall to now me wanting to go voluntarily, like me actually wanting to be there. And also me wanting to be actively engaged and involved. And so by the time I turned a teenager, maybe even earlier than that, I matriculated in what's called the Theocratic Ministry School. And so this school is a school that teaches Jehovah's Witnesses from a very young age even to articulate their worldview to the world, right? And to be able to have sharp apologetics and to be able to defend our faith amidst a plethora of different worldviews as well. So I matriculated into this Theocratic Ministry School, and I gave my very first public reading. And man, like I remember like it was yesterday when I got done with that last word and I heard people clap, that was it for me. Like I was like, well, I mean, like that was my like Oscar, Grammy, Emmy moment right there. Just hearing that and seeing that while like, my dad was in the crowd, my mom was in the crowd, and all my peers, to see them be pleased with me in that way, and I'm doing something positive regarding the Bible was just like enough for me to keep going.
That was a defining moment for you.
Oh man, yes, yeah, it was a defining moment, and like, nothing could ruin that high, like so to speak, you know. So I'm in the Theocratic Ministry School, and now we do this thing now where it's called field service. So field service is essentially when Jehovah's Witnesses, we go from door to door. It's like door to door evangelism, and we knock on doors and we pass out the Watchtower literature. And at first, Jason, this thing scared me. Like I was like, I don't want to talk to anybody, you know. I don't want people to know. The thing that really intimidated me regarding field service and door-to-door evangelism was when I became a teenager. And when you're a teenager, like you really are, you're trying to fit in, and you're in this coming of age era in your life. My worst nightmare was knocking on the door, Jason, and me seeing a classmate. I did not want to see any classmates. I didn't want to run into any teachers, because I just didn't want people to treat me like, oh, like they go that, you know, super holy preacher man guy. Like, I didn't want people to treat me differently when I was in school. And so I eventually got over this fear of talking to strangers about God and talking to them in public and you know, being in rather contentious arguments. And of course, you know, having knocking on doors, having people like peek through the blinds and I make contact with them and they cut the blinds and they shut the lights off and pretend that we're not there. So that was a part of my childhood as well. Oh, man. You know, and so it eventually, that was my childhood. Like, you know, the Watchtower taught us to do our best to navigate the world in a way where we want to influence the world, but we don't want to be overly worldly, if that makes sense, right? So I didn't go to my prom. They taught me to be like they call it political neutrality. So I've never voted for any president. But at the same time, you know, we had fun. We had talent shows and we had outings and social gatherings and things of that nature. And this may be my first time saying this on a podcast, but we were in a kind of mock cover group of New Edition, and we would call it the Latest Edition. And we used to do this at talent. So we would sing, we would cover their song during the talent show. And so that was like our social outlet as well, too. So that was mainly my childhood and my adolescent experience going to Watchtower. It felt normal to me, but I'm realizing that sometimes when I talk to other people who didn't grow up as Jehovah's Witnesses, they're like, man, like that's peculiar. You know, it is a peculiar childhood that you had. So, yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like you were a very active member of your former faith. You mentioned field services, matriculated into theocratic ministry school. I mean, you told me separately that you attended annual conventions, you were baptized as Jehovah's Witness. And I think late 2012, early 2013, something began to kind of grow in your heart, something kind of pulling you away. Would you mind telling us about that?
Oh, I would love to tell you all about that, Jason. Yes, sir. So, you know, it's very interesting, man, because I feel like what King Yahweh does is throughout life, we have these encounters and we have these experiences that cause us to really perhaps do like this introspective look at what we truly believe. And what I mean by that is in 2012, there was this event that happened that really caused me to just become very introspective and to really just like do this like investigative private eye background search on the Watchtower Society and to see like to really figure out their origin story, because I really didn't know the origin story of the Watchtower Society. Like my mom, she would take us to it and I would pick up the doctrine from there. But I really didn't know the founder or the background or anything like that. So in 2012, Jason, there was this event that happened within America that really, really shocked me. And it was when Trayvon Martin had got killed by George Zimmerman. And I think that was February 2012. And this event really caused me to wonder and to ponder and to really go to, back then I called him Jehovah, to really go to him and to ask him some really deep and like hard questions. So to give even more context, this was when we have President Barack Obama, he's in office, and I write about this within the book, Thoughts of a Kingdom Citizen, where I had drunk the Kool-Aid. And what I mean by that is I had drunk the post-racial Kool-Aid that, okay, we now have the first African president, Barack Obama, in office. And so I had thought that in America, it was kind of preaching this rhetoric of we are now in this post-racial era where you can be equal and there are no sociocultural barriers and things of this nature. But when events like Trayvon Martin being killed by George Zimmerman happened, that kind of challenged that rhetoric for me. And it caused me to really be introspective and to really dig deep. And so during this time, Jason, I man, I can recall it like it was yesterday. I went down into my mother's basement, and I got on my knees, and I began to pray to Jehovah. And I feel like this was one of the most organic, authentic, most vulnerable prayers I had ever prayed to him in my time being a Jehovah's Witness. I was asking him questions like, you know, why did this event happen? And then like, I would ask him questions like, you know, why did my people have to go through things like slavery and middle passage and things of this nature? And because I was going through this existential identity crisis as well at the same time. And so during this time, I'm really looking to the Watchtower for answers, because I've only known to go to them when something like cataclysmic happens within life, right? But in this moment, Jason, what I realize is that sometimes we have to go not just to our religion, but we have to go to our creator himself. And we have to be sincere and we have to be honest, because I don't think he's afraid of any question. I don't think he's intimidated by anything we have to ask. And in fact, I kind of think he already knows what we're going to ask before we open up our mouths.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and start talking with them. And so I'm peppering him with all these questions. And I get up from the floor of my mother's basement, and days go by, weeks go by. And I went to the Kingdom Hall this Thursday, and I began to see people doing things of solidarity for Trayvon Martin, like wearing a hoodie. So what I did was I wanted to stand in solidarity, because I was still trying to understand why this happened. But I also I wanted to show that I am standing with this family who is also hurting as well. And so I went to the Watchtower Society, and I had my hoodie on, because I saw people like LeBron James, and these people, they wore hoodies as well. And I took the hoodie off, and I walked into the auditorium, and it was a day where I was in high expectation, because I just knew in my heart of hearts that the Watchtower would say something about what just happened in pop culture. But waiting and letting time go by, ministering it into hours, and they said nothing, Jason. They said nothing about what had happened to this young man who I could relate so much to. And so what's interesting enough is that their silence spoke volumes to me. And so that really caused me to get to a point where my religion began to wrestle with my ethnicity.
Interesting.
Yeah, man. Like I kept going to God, just asking him, you know, like, why would this happen? Like, why do we see these events happening? And like, you know, why do my people face discrimination and slavery? And like, why is it still occurring? So I opened the Bible, and I got to one chapter that really changed everything for me as well. This chapter is Deuteronomy 28. And when I began to read it, Jason, one, it's a very long chapter. I think it's like 68 verses long to read. The first 14 verses are about the blessing that happened to Israel. And the last 15 to 68, they're about the curses that happened for disobedience. And I'm a student of history, so I love history, and I'm trying to piecemeal my history together. And so I'm reading African-American history, and I'm juxtaposing it with Deuteronomy 28. And I just start to see so many parallelisms and so much overlap, to the point where I'm like, wow, this is the answer right here. And so from that point onward, God began to reveal to me that you have a Hebrew heritage that you have not known until this point. He began to reveal to me that you have more in common with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob than you think, Yoel. And so I'm like, whoa. So this began for me to study and to look in the Bible in a whole new way. And so from this time, I came into a fork in the road where it was like, okay, I'm either going to go this uncharted path of leaning more into my Hebrew heritage, or I'm going to just kind of like turn a blind eye and a deaf ear to what I'm hearing and this answered prayer and go back to the Watchtower Society. And to make a long story short, I chose the former. I chose to lean more into my Hebrew heritage and to see that, whoa, the Bible has more it really has more to say than I thought my religion taught me. And so that's a very long-winded answer to your question of what happened in 2012 and in 2013.
Interesting. Yeah, no, it's amazing to me how God will reveal things and how he'll open up paths when we're ready to see it. We can read the same verse, like you said, 999 times, but that thousandth time, God's like, now you're ready for what I'm going to give you. And when that happens, you're just like, wow.
Yes, 100%, 100%, sir, absolutely.
Now, I will tell you a story that happened to me. I have a daughter, she's about 13 right now. And I want to say last December, like towards the end of the month, there was a Christmas thing, or maybe it's the beginning of December. Anyways, the city put on this Christmas celebration. It went for Friday and Saturday. I took her Friday and had a great time with her. She had a little friend with her. And then the next day I gave her to her mom, and I'm like, you should go to this thing and they're going to do totally different things. It's great. You'll have a lot of fun. And they did. And that night around 6:37, I get a phone call, and it's the phone call you never want to get. Her mom is like, look, I gave the girls money, because she went with another friend, gave the girls money to go get food, and I can't find them. I've gone up and down the aisle. They're not back. And it's been over an hour. And I'm like, I'm on my way, you know? And I get there, and the whole time it's like a 7-minute drive from my house, and every second of it was fraught with the worst case scenario. And I finally get parked, and I'm parked way far away because everyone's there, and I'm walking to it, and I call her mom, and I'm like, I'm going to be there in a few minutes. Where are you? And she told me very specifically, get on the sidewalk with all of the Christmas lights and follow it until it dead ends at the lost child booth. I'm like, okay. So I find the sidewalk, I get on it. It's got all these lights, nice paved sidewalk, beautiful lights. And I'm walking, and I hear this voice that says, turn right. And I'm like, what? And it wasn't a voice in my head. It was like a prompting. It was a feeling. And I kind of ignored it at first, and it came on stronger, turn right. And I stepped off the path, went down this little hill, and I kind of had to look down because it was dark and I didn't want to trip. And I took a few steps and I looked up, and I was looking into the eyes of my daughter. And it was like that moment. And it took me a month of thinking of this to really piece it together. And it came to me that God is going to tell us the world is going to give you beautifully paved sidewalks and pretty lights. And I'm going to ask you to go off into the wilderness. And when I do, you'll get your reward. And and it's just like those things that God guides us to is just amazing if we just listen. You know what I mean?
Yes. Wow. Man, that is, man, like I'm like my hair's a lot like stand up, man, on edge, because that is so true. That's so true, Jason. Like, to me, the watchtower felt like that. The watchtower felt like that beautifully paved sidewalk and like all these iridescent pretty lights. But like me, like, man, like, man, like that story, it's so good, because I literally felt like I was going into a wilderness scenario, because the watchtower was all I knew for 20 plus years. And so, man, like that story is phenomenal. Wow. Like it's a testament to how, man, like, our King, like he's still interested and talking to his children. And like, that's a beautiful thing if we can just listen to him.
Wow. Absolutely. Absolutely. So a lot of history, a lot of background, and I appreciate you sharing that with us, but I kind of want to move forward now. You've got an online presence, Set Apart Kingdom Prep, which has like marital resources, literary resources. I think your podcast is there under media resources. What inspired you to start pulling these materials together?
Yes. So, man, this is our baby. So, man, so my wife and I, when we started talking with each other in 2020, and we got married in June the 11th, 2021. And what I realized is that, I'm not the only one that's the King has gifted with gifts within his kingdom. My wife has this amazing ability and this gifting to teach. And she does it in a way where it's like gamification, she teaches math games, and she does it in a way where there's games. So the kids, they're literally playing a game, but simultaneously they're learning math, they're learning the timetables and all this type of stuff. So it's really cool. And so she had this website, Set Apart Kingdom Prep, where in our courting stages, we were talking about how can we merge our talents, our giftings, our anointing to advance this beautiful government called the Kingdom of Heaven. Because what we realized, and I thank King Yahweh so very much that he gave us this insight and understanding and the wisdom, is that this marriage is bigger than just the two of us. This marriage is supposed to be able to exemplify and to demonstrate in real time King Yahweh's love to the outside world. So those outsiders looking in, they should be able to feel and almost have this palpable, tangible presence of, man, you all seem to, one, represent this loving king, and two, you seem to have all your loyalty and all your energies going toward him. So, man, like, tell me more like regarding like what you all believe and things of this nature. So she has this website called setapartkingdompreps.com. And what really inspired this was, I feel like it's this joint venture to where we're kind of like fusing our giftings together. So she's the teacher and I'm more so the like writer guy. So I love to write. Like my aunties gave me dictionaries when I was young, and my dad like gave me like books when I was young. And like I would go to Barnes and Noble as well. And like, man, like when I tell you, like, that's my Disneyland. Like I can get lost up in there and like be sitting on the floor just reading a book. Like, yeah, like I love Barnes and Noble.
I love the smell of books. Like when you walk into a bookstore, that smell, I'm with you there.
See, that's what I'm talking about, Jason. Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And so we have this thing where we want to not be selfish with the giftings and the talents and also the kingdom ideation that King Yahweh has blessed us with. So you, as you eloquently stated, we have things like literary resources. These resources are like, you know, I have my book on there, Thoughts of a Kingdom Citizen, Earth Needs Heaven. And we also have these meditationals that try to get believers to dig just a little bit deeper into the word. So we have things like Counting Seven Sabbath. We have our the Unleavened Bread Blessing Meditational as well. And we have like the media resources. So we have a podcast out there by yours truly called the Kingdom of Sora podcast. And we have this other thing called marital resources, because what we began to figure out was, now my wife, she was like light years ahead of me in this area. She would begin to talk to me regarding how, and if we're going to live a life of being citizens of heaven, and we claim to be kingdom citizens, and we're going to be ambassadors of heaven, then we have to take care to go all the way with it. And in my mind, I'm like, well, I mean, like, I kind of feel like I'm already doing that, you know, like I'm reading the Bible, and you know, like I was being real, yeah, real self-righteous, you know. And she brought this area to me that I was blind spotting, and it was this area of marriage. And I had never thought that, you know, even in marriage, there's a way to honor the King of Heaven and to be under his full jurisdiction, even when one comes into this marital union. So we talk about this thing called the Hebraic Ketubah, where back in biblical antiquity, you know, they didn't really go to Rome and say, oh, you know, can I marry so-and-so? Within Israel, they had this thing called the Ketubah, where the parents would sit down with each other and they would literally write out, okay, these are the stipulations of how I want you to care for my daughter and vice versa. And so they had this document, and it was totally scripture based and scripture centric. And so we have this on-demand course where believers can check it out, and it's talking about how to formulate your own Hebraic Ketubah. And it's talking about the invisible, untalked about dangers of getting a marriage license as well. And the invisible laws and the invisible trappings that can come with that as well. And so we try to do our best to get believers to see that King Yahweh, he is the innovator of marriage, and he wants us to have full freedom within our marriage, even to the point where we come under full jurisdiction of entering into a marriage how he wants to. And the last thing I'll say is this, is that people, you know, they plan for the wedding. The wedding is like the most beautiful thing. It's very bombastic and it's very grandiose. You know, you got the cake and you got the balloons and you got the DJ and everything. And, you know, and you looking snazzy in your tux. She looking good in her dress. And so that's all planned out. What we're seeing is that people, once those lights dim and everybody goes home, people rarely proactively plan their marriage. And so we want to help Bible believers to really do that. And I feel like the marriage resources, along with the literary and the media resources, they're all going to help and culminate us to live the blessed life that we can live as kingdom citizens of this beautiful kingdom called heaven.
That's awesome. You hit the nail on the head. I mean, I had never thought of that before. The way you articulate it is, we plan these elaborate weddings, but what happens next? You know, do you have a plan for your marriage? You have a plan for the future? Because, yeah, I mean, your intention is to live the rest of your life with this individual, with this partner, and to become one of the flesh. So
that's right.
How are you going to do that?
Right.
That's an important question. So that's right. Amazing. I noticed you guys have homeschool resources as kind of a future plan coming soon. Do you have any other future plans for the site? What are you going to grow it into? What do you vision for the future of that?
Yes, sir. Man, this is such an excellent question. So for the site, what future projects that we're going to have is, I've recently become an avid student of the Hebrew language. And so, I'm just realizing that there's so much within the Bible. Like, and this may sound silly to the listeners, but when I was a Jehovah's Witness, I had no idea that the Bible was written in Hebrew. I had always thought, for some reason, I always thought that it was written in English. And maybe a part of me thought that it was written originally in Greek, because like every now and then, like, you know, a teacher will point out, or like, oh, well, the Greek word says this and the Greek word says that. But I never thought to go back to the original Hebrew language. Somebody put it to me like this when it comes to reading the Bible. They say that reading the Bible in English is analogous to drinking tap water. Reading the Bible in Greek is almost tantamount to going to a fountain. But reading the Bible in the Hebrew language is almost like going to this pristine organic wellspring where you can just get this unfiltered, soul-quenching water from reading it in its original language. And that hit me like a ton of bricks. And I was like, whoa, like I've been reading the Bible all this time, but it never occurred to me to go back to the original language. I'm like, whoa, like it's amazing. So what I'm doing now is I want to not be selfish with that. I want to get to like come out with like perhaps a Hebrew class, but like Hebrew helpers to help believers be able to read Hebrew fluently and to be able to dive into the Hebrew Bible for themselves. Because, man, like when you read it in its original Hebrew language, it's almost like going to a movie theater and you get those 3D glasses and you put those 3D glasses on.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, it's like, and you're sitting in this chair where it's like when things happen, the chair kind of shakes and moves a bit. Like it's this fully immersive experience to where you are now hearing the Hebraic thought. Did you all know that there's Hebraic wordplay within the scriptures? There are puns within the scriptures. Like the King of Heaven uses a pun in Jeremiah chapter 1, 11 and 12 when talking to the prophet. And now I see where I get my love of puns from, is I get it from my father, because he uses them in Hebrew. And so I'm like, whoa, man. So that's a future project, is I want to come out with some Hebrew helpers to help believers learn the Hebrew language. We are going to come out with some children's books as well. And they're going to be filled with like Hebrew wordplay and like Hebrew alliterations and things of that nature, because like that's just me like geeking out about the Hebrew language and
love it.
You know, I'm like, I love words and things of that nature. And I guess the last thing to say, Jason, is I really would love for there to be produced what I feel like the King gave me this vision of Kingdom of Heaven embassies being produced worldwide. And if I could, I just want to read a scripture from the book of Acts, because I feel like Acts, okay, awesome. I feel like Acts speaks to this regarding how we can advance the Kingdom of Heaven for our Heavenly Father. And so in the book of Acts chapter 2, it says this in verse number 46. It says, "And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were eating their food with gladness and singleness of heart." And I'll read 47. It says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the assembly daily, every day, people who are being saved." And so what I realized, Jason, is that an embassy, because I had to educate myself on this, and an embassy is this governmental residence that resembles a house because ambassadors live and work there. And when I look in scripture, I see the apostle Paul, or Shaul in his Hebrew name, he mentions Chloe's house, and he mentions in Romans 16, like, Priscilla and Aquila, they have a home assembly where they're all gathered. And we see the apostles here, that they were meeting from house to house. And so what I'm realizing is that when we become a citizen of the Kingdom of Heaven, we also by default become ambassadors of this government. And this is exactly what the Messiah did. And so now everywhere that a Jason goes, everywhere that a Yoel goes, we're not going there by ourselves. We're going there with the entire authority and the light and the love of this Kingdom of Heaven government backing us. And so I would just love to see different Kingdom of Heaven embassies pop up worldwide, to where it's not so much religious, but it's a place where people can now obtain citizenship in this Kingdom of Heaven, and they can learn about the Constitution, the Bible of heaven. And they can now begin to invite other people into the Kingdom of Heaven as well, to be able to advance this beautiful government. And so those are like some future vision that I have for the website.
That is truly inspiring. I look forward to it. I'm going to bookmark it. I'm going to stay apprised. I'm going to keep watching what you're doing, because it sounds amazing. And I think you'll even find some wordplay in the New Testament, in the Greek as well, because I recall where Jesus says, you know, "And you, Peter, are the rock." You know, it's Peter is Petro, rock is Petra. You know, it's a wordplay. It's like, you rock or the rock. But the way he says it is kind of interesting. Yes. So that's all good stuff. Now, my understanding is that the Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew with a little Aramaic. So have you touched on the Aramaic part at all, or you just focused on the Hebrew?
Man, you know what? The Hebrew has really been like capturing all of my attention. I check out the Aramaic. I believe the book of Daniel, the letter of Esther, that's written, and you have a Nehemiah as well, written in the Aramaic. And I'm so like ambitious, like, you know, like I want to learn just everything.
Do
like,
it all, man. Learn. You can do it all.
Like, I want to learn the Hebrew, and I want to learn the Aramaic, and I want to be able to touch base with the Greek as well. But yes, what I'm realizing is that the King, he wants me to, like, I believe, be like well-rounded. And so, yes, like, I would love to look more into the Aramaic. The Hebrew, man, like, it like, the Hebrew is my first love. Like,
fair enough.
Yeah.
So a final question I have is around your book. You have this book, Thoughts of a Kingdom Citizen, Earth Needs Heaven. Tell us a little bit about that, just to get the listeners interested.
Yeah, for sure. Yes. So to give y'all this Costco sampler, if you will, we got it right in the book. So, man, people have always told me that, you know, there's a book that's inside of you. But I don't think that's just peculiar to me, Jason. I feel like, you know, there's a book that's inside of you. There's a book that's inside of every single person who's listening to this beautiful podcast. Thoughts of a Kingdom Citizen was birthed out of me really wanting to, I guess, prove to myself that, one, that if I just really focus in on writing, that I could write a book. And Dr. Miles Monroe said this quote that really just like resonates with me to this day. And it's a very short, succinct quote where it says, he says that the most lucrative money-making place on earth is the graveyard. And people say, well, why? It's because that's where like all these unwritten movie scripts, unwritten books, these unsung songs, these undocumented poems, these unwritten scripts and documentaries and podcast episodes, all these ideas, people, the adversary, and perhaps culture, pop culture, kind of like preach this reverse good news message to them, where it's like, well, who are you? You're nobody. Like, you can't do this. Like, this is too big of a project for you. When I would suggest that in Genesis 1:26, it says that let's make man in our image. And so we are made in the image and in the likeness of our Heavenly Father. And so as long as we are obedient to him and we tap into the gifts that he put within us, there's nothing that we can't do, especially if he's backing us. And so Thoughts of a Kingdom Citizen was, I began to like type that out on Facebook, because I was like having these thoughts about the kingdom and I wanted to get them out. And I was like, kind of like, I mean, like that, it kind of has a catchy tone to it. So I was like, let me see if like this can maybe turn into something else. And the title, Thoughts of a Kingdom Citizen, Earth Needs Heaven, was just that. And so it is really my memoir / preaching the good news message of there is life after religion. Because for me, Jason, what the Watchtower essentially told me was that if you leave us, you're going to become a heretic. You're going to become, you're basically going to be lost. It's basically, they said in so many words, you cannot understand the Bible without us. But what I'm realizing is that there is life after religion, and that the Messiah, it says in Isaiah 9:6, to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. So he didn't necessarily bring a religion per se, but he brought this government called the kingdom of heaven for us to enter into. And so that's what the book is about. It's navigating people through my journey of how the king was kind of wooing me away from religion, showing me that, okay, it's time to come away from the shiny Christmas light, so to say, and a beautifully smooth sidewalk to this wilderness. And I'm going to show you that through this process of journeying from the Watchtower, from Messianic Judaism, from Hebrew Israelism, that there's this paradisaic oasis called my kingdom waiting for not just you, Yoel, but for everybody that's on earth. And so that's the synopsis of Thoughts of a Kingdom Citizen, Earth Needs Heaven.
That's incredibly profound. And I think that's a good place to wrap this up. But before we do, do you have any last words for the listeners?
Man, wow.
Putting you on the spot.
I know, right? My last words for the listeners will be this. I want to go to the book of Matthew chapter 11, verse number 19. So it says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, this man is a glutton and he is a wine bibber, and he befriends tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is justified by the results. I think that this may bless somebody, that when the Messiah came on the scene, he was doing things, saying things, and thinking thoughts that were totally antithetical to the religiosity of his day. And for that very reason, people either loved the guy and they wanted to hang around him and just, you know, break bread with him and say, whoa, man, like we had 2 fish and 5 loaves. Now we got a whole Chick-fil-A thing going on where it's like, oh, we got all these fish sandwiches and we got more than enough and we got leftovers. So they either love the guy or they either say, you know what, he's rubbing me the wrong way on a religious level. I don't like him. They hated him to the point of even wanting to crucify him, to kill him. What I want to say to the listeners finally is that if you feel like, because I felt this writing the book, I felt like the king was causing me to go a different route, even from the people that I was around in my home assembly. And I'm like, well, Yahweh, like nobody's talking about this within my circle. This seems so left field. Nobody's talking about the kingdom like that. Please be encouraged, because wisdom is justified by the results. People may have seen the Messiah around tax collectors and around sinners and around prostitutes and around these people who are just the outsiders or the untouchables of society. And I'm going to submit and suggest to us that maybe King Yahweh is calling us to be around not just people who look like us, who smell like us, who talk like us, who walk like us, but maybe he's calling us to people who don't look like us at all, who are marginalized and disenfranchised. Society has turned a blind eye to these people. And maybe he's calling us as citizens of heaven to reach a hand out and say, hey, there's a king in heaven who loves you. There is a God in heaven who loves you. And there's a Messiah who died, not just for me, but for all of us, for you as well. And I want to invite you to be a citizen of heaven in your lifetime. And so that's what I would say to you and to this beautiful audience tuning in today.
Amen to that. So thank you so much, Yoel. You have been an inspiration, and you are so much fun to talk to. You really are a joyful man. I appreciate you coming on.
This was a blast and a half, man. I thank you so much, Jason, for this. And I pray that King Yahweh will bless everything that you do, that you touch your hand, put your hand to, my friend. Thank you so very much again for this blessed opportunity. Thank you so much.
Again, I encourage everyone to visit the website, setapartkingdomprep.com. There's some good stuff there. Some of the stuff is free. You don't have to pay for it. There's some paid stuff, but there's some free stuff you can check out. Plus, you heard Yoel, he's going to be growing it, doing more and more as time goes on. So check out all the other resources there. Also, if you want to go deeper into his journey, definitely check out his book, Thoughts of a Kingdom Citizen, Earth Needs Heaven. Be sure to check out the description or show notes for my stuff too, my website, become a guest, ideas on how to support the show, ways to contact me. You can get podcast updates directly in your inbox. So you'll find my social media links on there as well. Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, all the fun stuff. But until next time, remember to love each other. Remember to read your Bibles, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. So God bless everyone, and God bless you all. Thank you so much. You've just finished listening to the My Ministry Mission podcast, where faith's transformative power comes to life. Please be sure to like and subscribe this podcast on your favorite app so you never miss an episode. Also, be sure to check out today's show notes for great links and information you may have missed. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you next time.